The Holy Gospel this day is a reading from the book of St. John in the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And when he, that is Judas Iscariot, had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This is one of the most difficult texts to preach on. I'll explain how I know that as we go along. But you'll notice the first problem we've got is we're in the middle. Right off the top in that first verse, and when he had gone out, well, wait a minute, who's going where from what? See, that's a problem. We're picking it up right in the middle of the story because there is so much going on in this chapter of John. What has happened is this. Jesus has done foot washing, so it's Monday, Thursday. Then he has done communion, and that's the second strange an odd thing he's done this night. And then third, now Judas gets up and he takes a walk. And we know exactly where he's going. He's headed to the Pharisees to get his 30 pieces of silver and turn Jesus in. That's where we are. And here's what Jesus says about all of that. I want you to love each other. Oh, we have got a problem. This is so very difficult. So difficult for us, even as Christians. At last count, we were approaching 300 different Christian denominations across the world. And by the way, we don't get along that well. We don't play nice together sometimes. And we're supposed to love one another and be that example and that witness to the rest of the bunch out there so that they too can come and join this love of God in Jesus Christ. I was so mindful of a story that I got from a former teacher of our sons in Selkirk, Manitoba. She had the grade one class at the elementary school just down the road. And this particular September, things were different, because enrolled this little girl in her wheelchair. Now, the other 25 kids in the class had never seen a person their age, their size, in a wheelchair. This was brand new. And things went along, and she was busy figuring it out, and they were figuring her out, and things weren't going that badly until it came to doing the writing exercise. Because, see, she had trouble with both hands. They didn't coordinate with what her brain was telling her. And they were practicing the alphabet. And she got more and more and more frustrated until she threw the pencil down and went, and then it happened. Little boy, who was sitting at the desk next to her, slid his chair over, sat beside her and said, "It's okay. I don't like R either. It's hard." He said, "Let's practice together." And for the rest of the class in that time period when they were doing the alphabet, they practiced together. The love of God has just walked in because somebody cared enough to go sit beside this girl whom nobody knew, who was new. They were actually new to the city. They were new to the school. They were new to everything. They'd moved from out of province. We have trouble with things like that because, you see, says Jesus, "I want you to love one another as I have loved you." Oh, Jesus, what you're asking. And it's going to get worse, not better, friends. He is asking us to love the street people, to love the guys I drive by very often who are over at places like the Bissell Center. He's asking us to love the drug addicts. He's asking us to love the people who are the worst people you ever met. They haven't got one good word to say, and everything is negative. He's asking us to love all the folks in front of us, to take them in and show them the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ that forgives all our sins. Please notice, all. That's not some. That's not certain ones. It's all our sins when we ask. Each and every one, says Jesus, "I have forgiven." There's no conditions. You murdered somebody, I forgive you. That's why we have a hard thing to do. For example, this morning, we have to pray not only for the families in Buffalo, and I know the mall they're in because that used to be around the corner from where I lived, and I know the area. We have to not only love the families and pray for the families who had people who died, but we have to pray and love the person who pulled the trigger. This is hard work. And it's going to get worse because Jesus says, guess what? I'm going to include the Gentiles. You know, all those other folks who are the unwashed, who don't belong, who aren't part of the 12 tribes, who aren't circumcised or anything else that's part of the rules. I want you to love them too because I have given my spirit to them. And that includes a character you meet in Acts chapter 9. Whose name is Saul. And he's going to show how far that love of God goes, because one of the chief persecutors of the church is going to be turned around. This is the love of God in Jesus Christ. This is the love of God in Jesus Christ. I'll close with this example from a friend of mine who's been in ministry longer than I have. Let's go in a piece. He noticed this woman sitting back at the back of the church. Now, you got to understand, this church holds 3,000 people in the pews. And if you haven't got it yet, yes, it's Roman Catholic. And there's a woman sitting way down in the back corner in the shadows in the dark, and she is weeping her eyes out. Two of his good solid parishioners get up, and as they're going out, they turn the corner and they sit down, one on each side of her, and they go, "Sweetheart, is there something wrong?" She goes, "Yes, there is." And they said, "What?" She says, "I'm unlovable." Notice that word she used, unlovable. And they went, "Tell us about it." She had done something that's really bold. She'd gotten up in the middle of the sermon in her fundamentalist church in the middle of the sermon and walked out. You can imagine what the preacher and the deacons had to say. They were after her like a shot. Because you don't walk out on the preacher in the middle of the sermon. I've had it happen. You don't do that. But the reason she did that is because he was saying things that she could no longer stomach, because he was busy giving the list of those who were unacceptable in their church. And she said, they call themselves Christian. And there are no people who are homosexual of any persuasion. There are no people who have any addictions of any sort or type. There are no people who have any blemishes, spots, or warts of any kind in their church. She said, I couldn't stomach it. And she got up and walked out. And what the deacons had told her was that she was not welcome, not to come back, and she was not one of the loved of the congregation. She became a regular attender at that church. Didn't join. But they heard her, and they listened to her, and they listened to very carefully something I'm hearing a lot of lately. I'm not sure I still want to be a Christian. I've heard that several times in the past week, friends. This, says Jesus, is one of the chief reasons. It's a new commandment. It goes with the other two. I'm not going to remind you, they're there. This, says Jesus, is why I'm here, to show you how wide, deep, immense, broad the love of God is, if you will come and you will stand in the grace and mercy that I offer. Oh, and by the way, remember that definition of grace and mercy that I have. I'm watching. Okay, one more time. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, and grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. Ask me after if you want it repeated. This, says Jesus, is who I am, and all I ask of you is this. Go spread it around as we work for the kingdom. Amen.